Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to RegisterMeats.com. That's RegisterMeats.com.
It's time for Seminole Headlines, featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, Managing Editor Ira Schofel, and Senior Writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
The Seminole Headlines, and away we go. 93.3 Real Talk Radio, WarChant TV. Thanks so much. If you're locked in on WarChant TV, like and subscribe. As always, we appreciate it. Good to be with you. Kind of a holiday edition, as this will be last before next year, I guess it is, to be honest with you.
I wouldn't think we'd do one next year, right? Our next week, we'd probably take that off.
Yeah, we're going to take that one off.
Okay,
yeah,
all right. You going to be out of town?
I am, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Absolutely.
Where are you going?
Tampa, St. Pete, Bradenton.
Oh.
None of your business, really.
I mean, I guess not.
Anywhere else you want to know?
That was a disappointing answer. Yeah. I thought it was going
to
be somewhere cool.
If you needed Tampa. If you needed to know, he would have told you.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Well, I was going to be in a suite at the Lightning game on the 28th, but it looks like that will probably be canceled. The NHL just canceled games through the 27th. I can't imagine that the Canadiens are going to be flying down to Tampa to take on the Lightning there. Like, they wouldn't want to anyhow.
Right, right.
Lopsided affair. But some things are getting ruined. By the way, that's not how we start the show, Corey. Start the show by saying... Thanks to Register Sausage. Yay, Sausage! Let's go!
What a year for Register Sausage.
Mainly because of us.
It's got to be their greatest year in Register Sausage history, right?
I think the bonuses are on the way.
Oh, for sure. It's RegisterMeats.com is the website. If you haven't already ordered it, I'm not sure it's going to get there by Christmas.
They're late. Yeah.
It's fine. You get it for the New Year's. RegisterMeats.com, they have all kinds of different sausages. I saw in the responses to the Twitter question, Corey, somebody asked maybe when you might learn how to pronounce. I don't know how to say it. Andouille,
that's what I call it.
Andouille.
Is it Andouille?
What do you think, Jeff? We need to get Ben on here. We need a consultant.
I would say Andouille.
I think it's tomato, tomato, although nobody ever says tomato. I say Andouille. I also say Louisville.
It's no, you don't. You don't do that.
I do say Louisville.
Do you really?
Absolutely.
Well, then you're wrong for
just
sure.
Just out of spite.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, all kinds of... They've got the cheddar jalapeno.
I know how to say that.
Oh, man. They're delicious. All kinds of different variety of sausages. And or if you live in North Florida, over to Alabama, into Central Florida, Jacksonville area, go to your local grocery store. And if they don't have Registers... Stage a sit down strike. That's what we encourage here at Register Sausage.
Don't assault anybody. It's
just a sit down strike.
Right. Peaceful. It's peaceful.
Peaceful
protest.
Peaceful protest.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
Until they bring it in.
Maybe block the door.
Mm. Yeah. Be forcibly removed.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the goal.
That's how everybody would see it then. It'd make the news.
Look, if you won't sit down,
<That's right. laughs>
you won't stand for sausage, you'll fall for anything.
There it is.
That's what we always say.
Well done. Well done. So anyhow, great banner year for Register Sausage. Thanks to us here at Seminole Headlines and I suppose the product. Now, that said, Micah Pittman.
Mm. You're going to start there, huh? Because it's been a week. It's been a...
Got a receiver.
Okay, right.
Needed one.
Yep.
And a punt returner.
Yeah.
Can I just start with that?
Right.
Punt returner. Actually, when I saw the news, I just went, I don't know what he's going to be as a receiver, but he will catch and return a punt.
Yeah.
Hey, up to that point, we were fine with Bless Harris returning punts.
Yeah, you're right.
Anybody. Somebody in the portal.
So he had 15 for 150. Last year as the Oregon punt return. He only played half the season, right?
Well, he played 10 games.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay. And then Florida State for a team had 17 for 71. And 33 of those came on one return against Jacksonville State. So the other 16, they had 38 yards total in punt returns. Plus,
that's not good.
The 150 yards that went bouncing by them because they wouldn't catch punts. So yeah, you're talking about probably if he can catch it and run forward for a first down or close to it like he averaged Oregon, you're talking about right away being 20 yards better every game. Just by catching the ball and not letting it bounce.
And as Ira has correctly pointed out, those aren't hidden yards. You can see those yards.
Yeah, you
those
see it
you're looking right at those
Stop calling them hidden yards when you're talking about Florida State.
Every time the ball was bounding towards the goal line, you're like, that's 10, 15,
yeah, that's 18 yards right
yards.
There. Yeah,
I'm looking at them.
But, you know, the big areas of need for this football team, obviously, offensive line, wide receiver, defensive end. They've gotten 7 offensive linemen now, 5 high school signees last week, including one 5-star and 2 4-stars, and then 2 college transfers, Caden Lyles from Wisconsin, yeah, and Bless Harris from Lamar.
I'm by law required to say what you know about Bless Harris. Go ahead.
There you go. And then wide receiver, you got Micah Pittman. They're trying to make some more moves there. And then it's defensive end. They put some offers out. There's some guys, some intriguing defensive linemen have gone out into the portal, but I think they're counting on more as this process goes forward. So, you know, they're not that far from meeting some of these needs.
It feels like a month since signing day happened.
I know.
It doesn't feel like that just happened. We really haven't done a show, have we?
Since, yeah, six days ago.
It feels like that was a month and a half ago.
Yeah. We should have done live headlines on that.
Oh, my gosh. There would have been some stuff.
Even more content.
How was your show that day,
yeah,
buddy?
Great. A lot of fun.
Tom said you did a good job of I was still in the damage control mode over at warchant.com, but Tom said you did a pretty good job of maintaining an even keel.
I was fine. I listen,
everybody was freaking out.
Yeah, everybody did. That's where I understand in an emergency situation, Ira, that it's really incumbent
cooler
upon
heads
me to help. Yeah, yeah. Guide. Yeah.
That's what leaders
Jeff
do.
Comes in and says, listen.
That's what leaders do.
This is obviously a setback.
Mm.
But we need to talk about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a brother who's an air traffic controller.
That's
so
right.
It's in the genes.
It's in the genes. Like, hey, when it's hitting the fan, everybody's got to calm down.
Right.
Let's not overstate things here. In truth, I mean, we all were disappointed, but at the same time, I think greater disappointment than an individual doing what he did was the fact that they just whiffed mightily on receivers. And that's why I led today with this, because, look, what's done is done. I mean, Travis Hunter's gone, and it is what it is.
Well, and
you better find some damn receivers.
Is there any chance that Norvell listened to this show and was like, I don't know that Hunter's going to be much of an impact player. Why don't we pull that offer?
Or that's one possibility. Or Travis listened.
Travis listened. Like, these guys don't even appreciate it.
Yeah. Maybe Jackson State headlines. Those guys will
They'll
love
be
me.
Excited about the number one player in the country.
I like that angle.
Yeah.
I like the approach that it was actually Norvell who said, you know, now that I'm thinking about it.
Nope.
Right? I know it's an hour before he's supposed to sign, but guys, I'm going to pull the offer.
Yeah.
Everybody good with that here?
Yeah, we're good.
Everybody good?
Sure,
we're all good.
Sure. It's only been 2 years.
Don't worry about it, guys. All right. It's a tough phone call to make, but I'll make it. I'm the head man.
Yeah,
so here
that's
we go.
Right.
Well, that's what people do, like when people turn down jobs. I mean, FSU, you know, the thing with Vince Tyre, who's considered the AD before he
played
was
himself.
Not the AD at Louisville, he's put out there that he took himself out of the running.
Oh, really?
Some FSU people have said, no, FSU backed out once he started waffling. But it's, you know, that's just kind of how it goes. So yeah, that would be the play if you're Mike Norvell.
He should,
at the press conference, he should have said, you know what, when we kept asking questions about Travis Hunter without saying Travis Hunter.
Right.
Because we were told we couldn't ask questions about
which
players.
Which I loved how you guys navigated that. Good job.
Players who weren't allowed to sign somewhere else or who signed somewhere else. And he should have just come out and said, you know what, listen, guys, when we pull an offer, we don't talk about that in public.
Yeah.
I mean, it's embarrassing. We don't want to. We're not out here trying to
other coaches
humiliate
will do this.
The kids.
Now, look, if a young man that we pull an offer from the night before signing day in a year from now wants to enter the portal and we like what we've seen on film,
he's proven himself in ways he hasn't up to this point.
Right. But right now, we're not taking just some random kid from Suwanee, Georgia, not saying any names.
It could have been from anywhere in Georgia, guys.
Was that a bigger gut punch than Jacksonville State?
No, not to me. Now, I look at recruiting.
It's close, though.
Listen.
Because of who he was and because he was committed for so long.
Actual games bother me more. I've said that for years. I mean, I get recruiting's the lifeblood of all programs. We get it. And it sucked that we didn't get Travis Hunter, and we're on the wrong end of one of the historic flips of all time, right?
Probably the
biggest. Yeah, probably the biggest.
There's nothing that's – what's even second?
Well, it also ushers in – what we now know to be an era of uncertainty for everybody.
Yes.
Hulk Hogan, I think. Yeah. Hollywood Hogan.
That was a big flip.
Could you believe it?
I know.
The beard was black all of a sudden. What are we doing
The music
here?
Changed.
I actually liked the music change. I was like, oh, that's better. That's actually better, yeah. So, anyhow, the long story, short. I when you lose to a team that you're like 150-point favorites against because you treat the game as a glorified scrimmage and you know in the moment that it's ruined the rest of your season no matter what you do from here, that's a tougher deal for me to handle than an individual kid in a team game deciding I'm going to ride. Because you can overcome that. You can overcome Travis Hunter going to Jackson State. In fact, the fact that he went to Jackson State and not, say, Florida or Miami.
Yeah.
Right.
Guarantees that you can overcome it because you're not going to face that dude ever. They're not going anywhere.
He didn't go to Georgia, which I know State doesn't play Georgia, I don't think. Maybe they're still scheduled to play a few years from now. But, like, that would have – he didn't choose another Power 5 program.
Right.
He went completely off the reservation to something that you can't even compete against. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Plus, there's other things involved. But, just going from his tweet and what he wanted to do and what he wanted to accomplish, Florida State couldn't do that for him.
Yeah, and the point is, had he gone to a rival in the state, to me, then that would have been the ultimate kick in the pants. That would have been the one where you're like, well, that's a toughie, and you just got played by people you have to face every year, and rivals at that within the state, that portends of problems moving forward. This doesn't to me. This is an outlier. It's part of an uncertain time, which we see in the world of recruiting now.
Dude, this is crazy. This is crazy recruiting.
Right, but it's also, I think, the beginning of probably quite a few modifications when it comes to other elements that we've talked about on a regular basis. But
I was trying to think when you're talking about other flips, like Dante Fowler fell in and he's not the team caliber player, but he was a five star. He was at least a four star. And he flips from FSU, who you've been committed to forever, to Florida at the last second. So you're going to be playing him, and he's good.
Yeah.
So that was probably, in terms of, like, somebody you're going to end up seeing, that was probably the biggest one I remember that was like this.
What about Matt Elam?
Yeah, but that was way earlier. It wasn't like signing day. He flipped earlier.
Well, no, but he committed. He was an early enrollee.
He was going to be Florida, and then he committed to Florida State. And then, because I remember at the
because he was at the All-American game.
You can't account for God talking to Urban Meyer.
Well, are you a man of faith, Matt?
Calling him the night before. That's what do you want me to do?
Urban Meyer speaks to God and God.
And you can tell all these years later how genuine that conversation must have been.
I have enjoyed, I'm friends with some of the people in Jacksonville media. We all are. But, man, how just over the moon they all were when the Jaguars hired him, and how this was such a genius move, and the Jaguars are finally going to do it. Every single one of them just kills that guy, which they should, but, like, it's crazy how quick that flipped in, like, a year.
What's weird is
there were a lot of signs he was going to be this guy before.
Yeah, man, can't college football coaching and NFL head football coaching are so different.
Especially that kind of guy.
Yes.
Turns out holding playing time and intimidating and threatening people doesn't work against grown men.
Who get paid more than you do.
Yeah, who will look at you and go, kick rocks, dude, what you going to do? Yeah, no. And also,
and my agent's going to talk to the reporters.
Yeah.
And I'm going
to, oh, no, you're going to get rolled. You can't win this way. And he screwed up from the day he was hired. But people who were not being disingenuous knew that Urban Meyer was walking garbage as a human being and wasn't a great coach. He was a very good college coach, obviously, because you can use the tactics that he used and win. You can't in the NFL.
Clearly.
So, well,
maybe not with the Jags. Maybe
not,
if he'd been
not
with
anywhere,
the,
not
maybe
anywhere.
The Falcons. That maybe he'll be the Falcons coach.
It would not have flown anywhere.
And a great recruiter. I mean, no question. But that's what I think. That's the other part of this when it comes to this story with Travis. Was it comes to the definition of, like, what's a great recruiter? Because now people are, you know, obviously FSU fans are saying, well, obviously he wanted to an NIL deal, whatever. And then Dion's like, what NIL deal? We didn't offer him anything. And it's like, well, I'm sure he's getting, there is a deal, may not have come from you, may not have come from Jacksonville,
right. Possible
Jackson
deniability.
State,
right.
But it's coming from somebody. But then it comes down to, okay, well, what about the coaches who are great recruiters, but who have bagmen? I mean, what's a great recruiter? We all get into and then internally here, the debate is like, can Mike Norvell land those kinds of guys? And it's like, well, what really is a great recruiter? I mean, how many of them are just great people, or how many of them are they have contacts to get the thing done?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I do know, I'll tell you somebody who's a great recruiter. Jimbo Fisher is a great recruiter.
Again, but how are we defining great recruiter?
Well, I'm just saying year upon year.
By how many bags you're dropping? I mean, that's what the question is.
I'm not arguing with you. Yeah. I'm saying the results year to year to year to year to year show that whatever the definition is, he's good at it.
I guess my thing is, it's
people, is he building relationships, or is he giving them oil money?
Yeah, people use the phrase great recruiter like it's necessarily like it's indicative of their personality.
Oh, like
or
it's
some
a
skill.
Trait that, yeah. That, yeah.
And
yeah,
in
yeah.
some cases, yeah, maybe it is, and it plays a part. There's no doubt. I'm not saying it's all crooked, but in a lot of these cases, when you're talking about that level, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a
well,
lot.
Well, and also, it's always been like that, but now it's so much more. It's so much more that I don't even know if you could be a good recruiter anymore. It's
right. Doesn't matter if you're a good recruiter.
If you have a great relationship with a kid and you offer him an NIL deal of $50,000. Somebody else swoops in the night before and offers them $400,000. Yeah. You're not all of a sudden you can't recruit. Yeah. He's going to choose $400,000 like we all would.
I guess that's my point. It's
but
kind
that's
of
the reality that now. Yeah. That's like that's. I mean, it's always kind of been like right. that, but I think now there's like actual numbers to the bags.
Right.
That we're putting numbers on the bags now.
Tony, to answer your question, I'm sure the answer is yes.
What was
this?
The question?
Isn't like some disparaging remark because he's no longer here. It's. I assume so. He wrote. So were bags dropped when Jimbo was the coach at FSU? Yeah, I'm assuming so.
Probably.
I think it's a safe assumption. Yeah. Sure. I hope so. Whatever.
You got to do what you got to do to compete. It's not like if that's the case. We're not saying anything. We don't know.
And it's not every kid.
Allegedly.
And it's not every kid. There's certain players who don't want it and don't ask for it. And certain families who would be offended if they
if you did.
Were offered
In fact,
it.
You can make the mistake of doing that, right. and they're going
to
ride.
But to,
Better
s-
read
but to
the
act like it's
well.
Only about being a recruiter is, you know.
I think to your point, I there was a time, certainly, where, and it wasn't just, I mean, yes, we've always known that we're under the table deals for certain kids.
Or jobs for parents, or cars,
like
or
that,
stuff
yeah.
like that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Reggie Bush's parents flying from game to game, sitting on the 50, that was a miracle. But anyhow, what I would say about that is there are coaches who combined the ability to get certain kids in, understanding the situation, but also did forge good relationships with people and did speak honestly about how they saw them moving forward, what they projected them as, and they had a good track record. I think we're moving further and further away to his point, which is that even if you were that guy, even if you had the capability of sitting down across from somebody and building a relationship and being brutally honest with what they needed to work on and how hard you were going to challenge them, but how they'd come out the other side a better player, none of that may matter anymore. Well, it may very well just solely be about.
And I think I've asked you this. I can't remember, and I don't think I've asked you this. So how much money do they have to put aside for the football facility? Isn't it like $70, $80 million?
Yeah, why don't you just put that in your recruiting funds, right?
Is that going to help you recruit more than if that all just goes to the – if that money just went to player development?
There's two lines of thought. There are some people who are already making that argument. There are other people who would say that there are so many things that that does in terms of player development that it is more important because you talk about –
Maybe not even player development, player acquisition.
No, I know, but there's two parts of it. You also have to develop the players you get, and you're not going to have – you're not going to sign 80 guys to million-dollar NIL deals. But a lot of those guys
not with that way of thinking. I might
the treatment and everything else. But you know, the Deion being the crux of this is really interesting because that argument about what is a recruiter? Because when Deion started flirting about the idea of being an assistant coach back when he was putting out feelers, he wanted to join Willie's staff. Remember when Willie was putting together his staff? And the big argument that a lot of people made right off the bat was Deion Sanders is not going to go recruit. He's not going to go put in the time to go evaluate players in South Florida. Do all these things you've got to do for months a year and beg all these kids to come. What's interesting is, well, okay, but maybe he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Is Deion Sanders, maybe he doesn't need to build those relationships. He's not Adam Fuller trying to earn your trust.
Right.
He's Deion freaking Sanders.
Right.
So maybe
they're honored to see him.
Right,
like they would almost think less of him if he banged on their door at 8 a.m. It's like, what are you doing here, Deion? Don't
watch my film. I want to
come to you.
And then when you add an NIL into it, it's interesting. But it, you know, look, man, you watch that team, if you watched them on Saturday or Sunday, whenever they played their game, it's the whole roster's D1 transfers. I mean, and they lost to a team that's not very good.
They got blown the hell out.
So not a good sign. But in terms of getting players, that's not going to be his problem. I mean, they're going to get tons of players, whether or not he spends any time on the road recruiting or not, which is, I only say that because I think it's going to be an interesting topic if he ever decides to make the change.
Well, I also think big picture, it's an interesting topic because now, I mean, there are people, not named Deion Sanders, who are influential in the corporate world, who have money guys everywhere. Who are we going to start to put together staffs where you have actual coaches and then people who have
public figures?
Public figures who just happen to be here because they've got good relationships with people who can help get you certain players?
Sure.
I mean, and then during the week of practice, they just go stand and look at the goalposts or whatever. It doesn't really matter.
Plies may end up on the staff at FAU.
That's right.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
As we roll on with Seminole Headlines, taking us to Christmas, and you guys in town, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I'll be here through the 29th. Then I'm going up to Corey's neck of the woods. We rented a house up near Atlanta, wherever you live.
North, somewhere by Lake Lanier.
Yeah, Lake Lanier. And we're going to spend close to a week there and just kind of chill out, man. It's going to be nice.
Nice. Yeah.
There's at least a death every weekend at Lake Lanier.
Well, hopefully it won't be
The locals up there call it Camp Crystal Lake.
I like that.
Yeah, but...
just mysterious dead bodies found?
No. I mean, they're boating accidents. They're DUI accidents.
People get loose
crashes
on Lake
Lanier. Friday the 13th is what I'm saying.
No, there's no mass killer up there. Because
I feel like that would be
big
news.
That we're aware of. It would be... I feel like, that's the thing about the Camp Crystal Lake stuff with Friday the 13th. It's like... At some point, don't you just shut it down?
We're not open this year, guys.
Dropping dead left and right out of here.
I mean, every summer, there's 16 teenagers killed.
They're not just drowning.
No.
It's a spear through the throat.
It's a chainsaw off the torso.
But we can't keep kids away from camping. They can't get enough camping.
Can we go to another one, Mom? No.
It's like the mayor with Jaws. Can't keep the people off the beaches. Yeah. It's the 4th of July. What are we doing?
Yeah. I never understood that with Jaws. It's like, as long as they're on the island... And they're on the beach. Yeah. But, like, the mayor just wanted his friends to go swimming. Like, get out there and go swimming. Yeah. It's like, why?
Why?
They're here. They're already here. They're just on the beach. They've already spent the money to come for the summer. You don't have to get them out in the water.
There's so much in those movies. And Jaws 2, it happened to be on, like, a few months ago.
I can't stop watching it.
I mean, when he starts shooting.
Or 3 or any of my
When he starts shooting in the water, like, he's... What?
What? I don't remember that in Jaws 2. He shoots the shark.
Isn't that when he's like, or he doesn't start shooting. He's visioning. He's
remembering from Jaws 1, though, right?
So he's just screaming at everybody to get out of the water, but just like he's just having crazy.
Look, man, that was a rough summer for him.
I'm wondering how old were you when you saw Jaws?
I was like 5,
7, 8, something like that.
Crazy times back then. Our parents were terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I didn't go see it live.
My dad took me to the theater to see Jaws as a little kid.
Yeah.
It was a phenomenon. That was a huge deal.
Remember there was a
song? There was a song on the radio?
Yeah.
Like a parody song?
Yeah, no, I can still remember going to see the movie when the guy's head pops out of the bottom of the boat. I was nearly in tears.
Yeah, yeah.
My dad's like, it's all right.
It's all right. It's just a movie. It's just a movie about a killer shark.
Yeah,
you're fine.
Don't worry about it.
And we live by the ocean.
How old were you when you saw Friday the 13th?
I was 6. My mom let me watch it on HBO. I begged to watch it, so she let me watch it on HBO. And it was pretty freaky.
Well, it's problematic on a lot of levels. Not only is there mass murder, there's sex. There's a lot of stuff going on here. You're 6 watching all this.
It's the reason this became this is because of decisions 40 years ago.
Kim wouldn't let our kids watch SpongeBob until they were like 16. But, like, our parents let us watch whatever.
No, it didn't matter, man. Yeah. Cable was new, I figure. They didn't know that they hadn't lived
also,
like we did.
And the parents just didn't. I mean, they lived their lives. They weren't living our lives.
Yeah.
We lived their lives.
You could rig the box, too, if you just had a plane.
The squiggly line. Yeah, get rid of the squiggly line. Yeah,
kids watching this have no idea what we had to do with squiggly lines.
I remember that. I remember, buying away with an ace of spades.
The problem is you needed somebody else to be able to hold that there. Because, if you're,
Yeah.
What?
Just saying.
Oh, my God.
We're not saying.
Listen, we're not saying that at all. Let's move on.
They're trying to find Cinemax with the playing card here. This is not good. That said, let's move forward. And we do have. He's going to make me laugh. I've got to keep it together.
I wanted to ask you. I can transition. I'll transition.
Well,
you guys
think
about Ira doing that. I'll transition to this.
I'm never going
to
think about
that. So I've always said, I've long maintained that Miami would never get to be Miami again. They could never come back because their facilities were so much sub.
Some Corey Clark hyperbole.
I 100% believed it. I didn't think anyway, I've gone over it. I didn't ever think Miami could be Miami again. Well, now this is a game changer because facilities won't matter as much as a huge check. It just won't. Like, they have now the ability to keep local talent there if they're willing to pay up, and I don't mean pay for an AD or pay for a head coach. If they have the money at their disposal to now pay for players, which is what you're doing, and establish NIL deals, well, yeah, they can get back to recruiting top 5 talent in the country.
Yes.
And if they're coached well, it won't matter that fans go to the games, and it won't matter that their facilities are terrible because those kids won't care about that nearly as much as they care about, here's this PGA Tour-size check I've gotten
for
my
services. And who can blame them?
Nobody.
We said, though, and you pointed this out in your article on warchant.com, we knew that this is where it was headed. We moved into the Wild Wild West, and we were all for players getting a piece of the pie. I mean, I don't need to see $11 million a year coaches and facilities with chocolate fountains. But I think we overcorrected. The market may have overcorrected. But at some point, you recognize that when this happened, there would have to be further, I think, as I said before, they'd have to modify this. And my guess is that that will happen. At the very least, everybody has to be playing by the same rules. And when you have different laws in different states governing the NIL, that's a problem. Then you can't compete.
Well, and the other thing is we're at this period right now where it's so, I mean, it's so embryonic in the sense that nobody, like, okay, so right now maybe the top players are getting the big NIL deals. Are you going to take, like, I think the way what Corey's saying, and I've heard other people say this over the last week, is, I mean, instead of putting that money into a facility, put that money into NIL deals. Well, okay, how much are you going to invest in 30 kids every year that may bounce after a season? I mean, are you going to pay a kid, an offensive lineman, $600,000, and then he may leave
a year later? I mean, I think that's part of the contract.
But
none of it's regulated. Like, I get it. Well, right now, there's no contract.
It's all so early. And it's all happening on the fly. You can see a scenario where you get to 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road, whatever it is, when you're in this one big conference where they've split off and all they are is just these Power Five football teams.
Semi-pro teams.
Yeah, that are doing this. Then maybe there is a salary structure and in a plan where you have to stay for however many years and how the payments work. But right now, it is crazy. This process is – and so how do you make a decision – like your point, though, on the football facility, how do you make a decision like that when you don't know what the landscape's going to be 3 years from now? Where, what if you get to a point like that and now you don't have that facility where everybody else does have that facility, and then that maybe that becomes a problem?
Well, I mean, I think what we've seen now is, like you guys have just alluded to, we've scratched the surface. I think there will be changes coming, but those changes, from whence will they be coming? In that there is no czar of college football. There's nobody saying, hold on, guys, we've got to get a handle on this.
There's nobody that thinks of the betterment of the sport or the good of the sport. Nobody. No. Nobody is in control.
No, it's always about money.
Yeah, of course.
But 10 years ago, we were screaming. 5 years ago, we were screaming, like, you better get somebody in control of college football that has real authority. And they have to be voted on by the Power Five commissioners. You got to figure out, I mean, if you will, you know, your ACC, the Pac-10, Pac-12, you got to figure out, do we have a guy, a universally agreed upon guy, that then can say, for the betterment of the sport, we're going to do this, this, and this. Right now, there is nobody, and that's why I was yelling, and a lot of times it was tongue-in-cheek, but it really wasn't. When the NCAA revealed it no longer had teeth, and we were moving that direction for a long time before the courts told them officially that they had no teeth, that now was the time, if you really felt seriously about it, to cheat.
Yeah.
Because there are no ramifications.
Is it cheating now?
Well, I'm saying, 3 years
back
ago,
then,
I was
saying,
do whatever you got to do, because nobody's coming for you.
Yeah.
And there were schools that recognized that and went, okay, we've got carte blanche.
And surprisingly enough, completely coincidentally, Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, a school with unlimited resources and a desire to get good at football, suddenly has the best recruiting class in the history of college football.
And it will continue.
Yeah.
It will continue. So, yeah, that's why Florida State fans, rightfully, and it's not just Florida State fans, it's fans of teams all over the country go, well, we can't compete with Texas oil money.
Yeah.
We don't have it.
And that's the point. And somebody asked us on the message board. Somebody asked me on the message boards today, actually. Like, I keep hearing Florida State's not committed to NIL. That's not true. I think Florida State is committed to the NIL. But at the end of the day, you had got what you got.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a young university.
I'm committed to getting a new truck. But,
I like that truck.
But also, I like my truck, too.
I do think what's interesting, though, there's another part of this. I do think you'll see some of the top recruits now go to places you would have never dreamt of. If a university decides they want to change their image as to what's possible, if Kansas State decides that number one recruit happens to be from our own backyard, if we get him, we may not win a lot of games next year because he's one player, but it does tell people that we're committed, and it does give the possibility of other kids to look at us through a different prism. So I do think that you won't get a hyper-concentration on three schools the way we sometimes do now. I do think you'll see a little bit more variety with the upper end guys, but the totality of those classes will still go to those who have the
best. That's why I would have thought, and I'm sure, and it is still a very big deal for HBCUs to get the number one player in the country. That's a huge deal for Jackson State and for HBCUs. But if it would have happened 4 years ago, it would have felt much more seismic, maybe, to me. Or you wouldn't be, you wouldn't look at it with a jaundiced eye. Like, okay, why are you really going there? He might really be going there to learn from Deion Sanders and to go be a star at an HBCU. But we have no idea what happened behind the scenes to maybe push him there. And we wouldn't blame him if he did.
No,
if he got offered seven figures to do something, absolutely, man. The NFL is not a guarantee. We've seen plenty of five stars cycle through this place that had no shot at the NFL. So go for it. And plus, Ira didn't see much in him anyway.
I mean, I thought he would contribute by year three or year four. But, you know, but to your point.
Yeah, what was he on D-Rob's scale?
To your point on having a czar, there is a concern, though, man. I really think there is a concern. We all have a vested interest as people who are proprietors of businesses that cover Florida State sports. There were a lot of people, not just FSU fans, who were turned off by last Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because it was the culmination of, yeah, man, everything we did care about recruiting doesn't really matter anymore. You know, the whole process might not really matter anymore.
Yeah.
That's a weird awakening for some fans. A lot of college football fans have realized and moved on and taken a different approach
than maybe they did.
I got you, but some had not.
Right. Well,
but I think Wednesday,
college football's got a perception problem.
On Wednesday, those people got hit with a big freezing ice cold water.
Well, I made an argument a year ago on the air. I said college football has a problem. Pro football exists, and they do it better.
Yeah,
there's a salary cap. If you're a free agent and I sign you, I know where you're going to be every day.
Yeah,
nobody's out recruiting you while you're on my roster.
And you can't just leave.
No,
you can't
just leave.
The facade was helpful.
Right.
I mean, it was just like in pro wrestling, you know, never admitting that it was fake
and then
was helpful.
The day you found out it was, to some kids,
yeah. And then a lot of kids knew, but some kids didn't. And when you take it away completely, it just changes.
Well, and
the
that's the point I tried to make in the column is like, what is college football? What is it? The fourth biggest sport in the country? Maybe third? It's NFL, NBA, college football, maybe, or MLB. It's in there.
It's all in there. Yeah.
All those other ones, all those huge $1 billion
have a system.
Have a salary structure or a system in place. Even Major League Baseball doesn't have a salary cap per se, but you have 4 years till you can get arbitration, 6 years till you're a free agency or whatever. So they have rules. Right now, there's nothing stopping Florida State from going to Travis Hunter tomorrow and saying, here's $3 million, get out of your NIL, get out of your Letterman tent and come to Florida State. Or play a year at Jackson State
and then
we get you for the next two. So his decision on Wednesday, what are the odds that we think either one of those guys, Deion or Travis Hunter, will be there in 3 years? So that to me is like you've got, if you're going to treat it with money, and we're all for it, legitimately, they should have been paid long ago. But I think it should have more of a structure with it.
Well, you're, and people can read that column. It's still at warchant.com. You got to search a little bit. It's buried
it's
a little
there.
Bit now.
If you really want to go read it, you can find it.
It was a good column. But that's the thing. Like, you've always kind of argued for a salary cap for coaches, which I think is ridiculous because it's never going to happen. But if you had a salary cap for players, then you would need a salary cap for coaches because now the coaches become what they are in the NFL, which is interchangeable. The money is about the players. In college, the money's about the coaches because they're the ones who can go out and acquire the players.
Yeah.
But if you have a salary cap, then you don't need to worry. But they're not going to make – you're
well,
not going to have
coaches
come, making
but
so
it's
much
it's got to come out of the same pool or something, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, why would you cap the players, but then the coaches get free reign?
Well, but I'm saying you won't – but there won't be a rampant spending for coaches anymore because you'll realize that Urban Meyer's not a great recruiter.
Right.
He's just a guy that acquired players.
Who's full.
Or a great coach.
Yeah. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. How you doing there, podcasters? Good to hear it. Listen, if you're wondering, for a good place to eat, watch a game, have a cold beer, enjoy a lot of choices, we suggest Horizons Bar and Grill.
Maybe even run into us.
You and I especially.
Yes.
I mean, I'm there once a week, I think. When I'm in town, I'm there. Stephanie and I are there. Great place. Cold beer, hot women. Everything you want in a I probably shouldn't have said that.
Well, it's okay.
Hot beer and cold women.
Whatever
some bars.
You're into.
I like the good looking ladies too. That's
sure,
all right.
But
even if that's not your thing, I'll be there. I'm a good looking guy.
And we would all agree, great food. Legitimately
good
food.
The most important part of this ad is the great food.
It's great food. They got TV, sports bar. They got that vibe, but beer, food, everything you could want. And most importantly, again, other than the food, is that there is at least, I'd say, a 35% chance one of us would be there.
And you get the mac and cheese bites.
And you can get those shrimp tacos, which are the king. You've gotten healthy on me lately.
I eat the hummus.
You eat the hummus. Who eats that? He does. At Horizon's Bar and Grill.
I didn't know I liked hummus. Maybe I don't, but Horizon's got some great hummus.
But you look for them on their website. You can see their happy hour specials. Just a great place to hang out. And it's if you want to like a little upscale dinner, you can go in there for that as well. It's at Bannerman Crossing at the right off of Thomasville Road and Bannerman up there on the northeast Tallahassee.
Tell them Headlines sent you.
Well, the important thing is support the people who help support Seminole Headlines. That's Horizon's Bar and Grill. And thanks for listening to the podcast.
Woo!
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
So really short segment because we've been long-winded through the first two. So you have to forgive us for this little five-minute jobber. Hey, now.
Boy,
And we'll keep it rolling. We'll keep it rolling. That said, we feel like we fully vetted the woes.
Yeah.
One final thing here. The sense of sadness, you guys both kind of hit on it. Even though I think people, if they were pragmatic, if they were realists, knew that the ship sailed, as I said last segment, years and years and years ago. That if you wanted whatever you think college football is in its purest state, I don't know, Ivy League football or something, if you wanted that, that's what you'd have to go watch on the weekends. Because this thing has been corrupted and screwed up for a long, long time. But this felt like the overwhelming evidence that suspicion
and not
was 100% true and has somehow gotten worse in a way. But, of course, the counter to that is, well, look, now all of a sudden people are upset because players are getting
For sure. And there's a lot of other elements to it that people can point to. You say, oh, well, you're mad because it's an HBCU. You're mad because it's Deion.
I'm not even talking about that.
I just think there are a lot of – but you're right. But to the overall point, the idea that there was something, man, you know, again, it was probably fantasy, but there was something about the recruiting process that fans bought into because – they have invested this time, and they built these relationships, and they've made the parents feel good, and the kid feels good, and the parents trust the coaches. And then so, like, when coaches started changing, jobs right after signing day, people would get all mad. Man, you lied to that kid. How could you lie to that kid? And it's like, now you've gone to – this has gone to a point now where maybe it doesn't matter if you've done any of that because it maybe just comes down to that deal that day and that signing.
Also, there's a collegial – aspect to college football that no longer exists that devastates people. What I mean by that is when a kid committed to Florida State, he committed to your alma mater. Right. In a lot of cases, he committed to the school you went to.
And you want to believe he loves the school the way you love the school.
Exactly. And it's not business. You love the school.
Hasn't been the case in a lot of cases for a long time, but we've all kind of played into it.
Correct. When the Falcons pick up a free agent, he doesn't get weepy-eyed because that free agent's going to the
Falcons. He loves Atlanta. He loves the A. He understands the city like I understand the city.
He loves to be a part of it.
Well,
it's good to know that Jerry loves this city,
It's an Olympic city.
And that's why he's going to be here playing linebacker for us for the next 4 years. He sees the greatness of this city.
And like when kids in recruiting will be like, oh, yeah, I grew up loving Florida State. Oh, really? Who are your favorite players? Jameis and Derwin James and Jalen Ramsey. It's like, okay, you really didn't grow up loving them, but you've seen them on TV and you like them and you're here now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Coach Taggart, who's your favorite player?
He was the king of that.
Warrick Dunn. Peter Warrick.
All those guys.
What's your favorite moment?
Peter Warrick, one of those touchdowns.
That was a great moment.
One of those touchdowns Peter Warrick scored.
That was a big one.
Let me ask you this. Speaking of love of school. So the Hula Bowl, you guys aware of the Hula Bowl is going to be in Orlando?
Is the Hula Bowl?
It's like a senior bowl. It's like one of the other senior bowls. Yeah, so they still do it. But their stadium, Aloha Stadium or whatever out there, is being renovated. So they're playing it in Orlando. Mm. So Mackenzie Milton got invited. He's going to be in the Hula Bowl.
Is he going to play?
So how cool is that? He's going to be in the Hula Bowl.
Where he's from, but be playing in Orlando.
Does he wear a UCF helmet or a Florida State helmet?
He better wear a Florida State helmet.
But would you be mad at him if he wore a UCF helmet?
No, because he's in Orlando. Because he's in Orlando. And there'll be people out there specifically to see him play.
I feel like FSU as a community should say, you know what, Mackenzie, man, go wear the UCF
helmet. They have a gold helmet too, right?
Yeah.
You could do both. So. But, you could have a spear and
Wouldn't we all be okay if he just wore a UCF helmet? I feel like we need to.
Screw that traitor. If he does that, we never talk about him again. No, I'm just kidding. Of course, yeah, I think that'd be a really cool moment for him to be
his last chance to play football in front of people. But I bet he's probably a little bit reticent about doing it. And the only reason I'm bringing it up, Bianchi interviewed him the other day, and it's a Q&A you can find up on the Orlando Sentinel site. It's pretty good. But even in there, like, Bianchi's trying to say, come on, man, you're a UCF guy. You know, he didn't bring up that topic.
Right.
But he did bring up, you're a UCF guy, right? Like, years from now, and he's like, man, I got love for both schools. If they ever played each other, I might, you know, you can tell. And it's like, man, we understand,
you
McKenzie.
Can say it.
Go. I mean, it's cool you were here. And it's cool he was here. It was a cool story. He just won comeback player of the year from the Mayo Clinic. I mean, it was a cool story. Wasn't a huge contributor on the field. That's fine. But I just think he needs to know that Florida State's fine with him going back to UCF.
Oh, I don't think. Yeah. Nobody's holding a grudge there.
Well, I don't want him to think that people are going to be, and I hope fans wouldn't be mad at him.
I don't think so. I think they're much madder at Travis Hunter and Deion Sanders than McKenzie. That's way up higher on their anger radar than McKenzie Milton.
Yeah, no, I think most would be indifferent.
I think he might get some.
Now,
when he's being introduced on Sunday Night Football as the starting quarterback of the Packers, who is he going to say? Is he going to say UCF or Epic? By the way,
that would be a miracle. I was thinking about that.
I was watching that game a couple days ago, the Sunday Night game. And you know how they introduce the offense and the
players
defense.
Players frequently don't say
they don't say
their
colleges anymore. No. And I used to play the game trying to figure
where
okay,
they went.
When they go Ohio State, Alabama, Auburn.
But
and
goes
this kid's
back
saying,
to, it kind of goes back to our point.
Yes,
right?
Yes, exactly right.
They don't really care about it as much as you do.
They start naming their middle schools and their street they grew up on.
If it was a transformative experience and they felt like their life was altered forever or something like that, yes, they will always say their school. For the most part, they'll name their high school or some place where they played junior football.
Because their college experience was very different from our college experience.
That's right, yeah.
I mean,
they were mercenaries. No fault of their own, for the most part.
Come on. Some of them love the schools.
Thanks, Ryan. We appreciate it. Seems perplexing that we sign a 3-4-star defensive end, a position of need, as a PWO. Any reason Dante Anderson is a PWO?
I don't think – I mean, we haven't gotten clarification for sure that he's not going to sign. It may depend on what the numbers end up being at the end of – in February. But, yeah, he committed, young man from South Florida, Homestead, I think, committed. They like him. Did not sign his LOI. We think that's going to happen in February. But, yeah, I mean, because of a numbers thing, he may end up being a preferred walk-on. We'll have to see.
And is he waiting on the NIL to sign the LOI?
That's a good question.
Is it the VIP coming for the CP?
We're going to break because I'm about to cough, and we got to get out for the short segment. Seminole Headlines continues in a moment.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Soon we get to headliner questions, and there are plenty, an abundance, as we round out the year. I've got some right here, boys. I've got some right here on the Twitter feed as well. So putting it out today, we'll be able to seamlessly go through.
You know, I think we should mention before the end of the hour that overall, that wasn't a bad recruiting class.
Pretty good class. They just whiffed the receiver.
Yeah, but they, who knew what was going to happen with the guy that was, you know, maybe the best receiver in the country. But also, yeah, I mean, they did. There's no getting around. But since then, since signing day, where they had the number 11 or number 12 class in the country, they still have more spaces for that. They've also signed a dude from Wisconsin or gotten a, I don't know
lineman.
If they're signed an offensive
You're
lineman
You're not
going to
disregard
Wisconsin.
Him?
No.
Now, he missed a lot of time there, Corey. I don't understand
why we're not doing cartwheels about him, because if you're an offensive lineman at Wisconsin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Same as Notre Dame.
Buddy, I heard you yesterday, and you said they're throwing bodies at the problem.
Correct.
That seems to me very evil, what I said about Dylan Gibbons.
No,
you're throwing bodies at a problem.
You always throw bodies. I was talking about the totality of the number of offensive linemen they brought in. 5 in the signing class.
Yep.
After two transfers. Miller,
and then, yeah, and then, so, no. You are throwing numbers,
but
that doesn't mean I'm not excited.
But I think that guy, getting him and then getting the Pittman, I mean, that's 2 4-star guys that you add to that class, and all of a sudden, this is turned into a top 10-ish type class, even without Travis Hunter.
But it is important that you find some linebackers. They whiffed there, too, for the most part. And do we think that this is all going to be, like, that? Let me ask you about defensive end. You think that one of the things that they knew they had to do was go in, bring in people in the transfer portal immediately, so they weren't going to hyper-focus on young defensive ends. They were going to do what they did last year because they got to have guys to fill that role right now.
I do think that's the thinking, because it's the same thing with – they're in the same situation, and they signed those young defensive ends last year that they really like and I like. Patrick Payton, I think, is going to be a really good player. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going to be in 2022. Byron Turner, they really, really like. but he got a shoulder surgery. So he's going to be healthy in 2022, but he's going to have missed a year in the weight room. You know, the other, the kid, Wilson, the kid from Virginia, is a nice, talented athlete, but needs to get bigger and stronger. Then they also have a couple of the other young, you know, younger guys that are coming on. So, yeah, I think it's I do think it was a conscientious decision to get. Now, the question is, can you get those guys when they become available?
Better.
Yeah. And when will they come available? That's the thing. I think right now people are panicking a little bit because there aren't a lot of them out there. But the reminder from FSU staff even last week was, you know, Keir Thomas and Jermaine Johnson weren't in the portal at this point last year. So.
Yeah, Jermaine was still playing, and you got to figure Georgia, Alabama, those schools where a guy's a good player but can't get on the field, they'll get up in the portal. You got a chance at him.
And the best part is, of course, not only did they decide to come to Florida State, but they had success here in terms of their elevation of play and profile. So now their NFL profile grew. So they're and those are guys that have said that basically they had such a good experience. They'll help recruit for Florida State. I mean, those guys have all but admitted that.
The Caden Lyles is a big deal. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, he started there for like 15 games.
Yeah, so when he actually was, you know, he was a starting center and then went down. Well, he was starting, he started two different positions on the offensive line. He also started defensive end as a redshirt freshman because they were thin there. But he's a guy that can play center or play guard. And, you know, last year he was coming back from a season-ending injury and didn't win the job against a guy who was really good at center. But I think now he'd be 2 years away from that injury. I mean, he could be a really, really good offensive lineman to go with what you've got. And then, you know, you bring in, you know, the Bless Harris kid and those high school kids.
We know about Bless Harris.
We think they got like 15 more spots or 12 more spots.
Probably. Oh, overall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they got 15
not
more.
Quite, not quite
close,
that.
Though, right? Like, probably they're probably barely 55% probably of the way done with this class. Probably, that's crazy. Plus, you got all the money you saved on Hunter.
Right.
Out there floating around. You can pay
that
to
whoever. We had
to
give some of that to Armello to get him to.
Well, that's true. And maybe the kid from Wisconsin, too. So
hey, by the way, Corey Preston wants you to know, you said that Dillon Gibbons was a bad guy, shaky overall character. You couldn't have been more wrong. Admit it.
Well, exactly right. That's the one thing. I knew he could play, but I'm like, this kid, you don't want his personality down here.
Well, you flat out said he'd be probably the best starter we have on the offensive line, but you were really worried what kind of guy he was in the locker
room. Selfish kid.
You thought for sure maybe there was a criminality aspect to who he was?
Selfish for sure, and I didn't think he liked helping out community. No. And that has not played out. That has not played out the way we thought it would. I was wrong about Maryland in 13. I was wrong about that.
Right.
I agree with that. This one's different. This one's
no, you
different.
Think this is nuanced. You're not proclaiming yourself to be right.
That's correct.
Yeah.
It's more nuanced than me just being completely wrong about Maryland being a problem. But, man, so you think about their offensive line. They have two dudes that are going to be 23 years old and big and have played at Wisconsin and Notre Dame and have played well.
I want 25-year-olds on steroids.
Get some BYU kids.
Whatever you got to have. Everything. Let's go.
Those should be the most valuable players in the country. Like these kids, BYU kids, go on their mission.
Come back,
play a year or two, and then
steroids.
Go in the portal.
Let's go.
At 26.
You get a 26-year-old.
How you like me now?
Getting them lifted up. Let's go.
Yeah. They already have three kids.
Yeah, let's go.
They have a family. They're doing family Christmas cards. Like, but seriously.
They're balding with a pot belly.
Yeah, it's fine, though. They got man strength.
Yeah.
NIL deals with Toys R Us.
But that offensive line now, all of a sudden, like you said, you know, I don't know that Armello, you can even expect him to play as a true freshman. No. That just doesn't happen a lot.
No.
But they learn from guys. Like, they'll get better because they're around it.
We might create some competition fights.
And they would get the chance to get bigger and stronger so that when they do play, they're not underdeveloped. Which
yes,
is
they don't
happening.
Just go have surgery every offseason.
Headliner questions forthcoming. Stay with Simple Headlines 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.